never my girl riding far and near in the land of the Hearthstone tales and spelled asleep, fear or believe that the wolf in a sheep-white hood, loping and bleating, roughly and blithely shall leap, my dear, out of a lair in the flock leaves and the dew-dipped ear, to eat your heart in the house in the rosy wood.
If you'd planted our beans straight this year, Eartha, I could have rested after work and enjoyed their vistas narrowing to the borders of our self-sufficiency, our small-holding. As it is, you've made a witch's labyrinth of those beans.
Oh, you can't tell where they end, can you?
Well, this can't be for us. Magnificent carriage, a bit like an undertaker's hearse, is coming up the lane. It'll break its wheels. Four black stallions, no less. What a handful. Why here? We lead nowhere. You want a glass of water, Eartha?
I'll pump him one, Ian.
Yeah, I'd better ask him what he wants. Can't be tourism or a desire to taste our simple and spoiled country food. Not that, no. Not with all that magnificence of prance and gold and black. He's in gold and black, too. Here he comes. Good morning, my lord. How may we serve you?
Oh, what a delightful spot. What beautiful air. My good old man, I'm here for nothing but to taste simple, unspoiled food.
Unspoiled food?
Yes. I want you to cook me some potatoes, the way you cook them for yourselves. And I want to sit down with you and eat them and enjoy them as if I were a member of your household. Coachman, just drive the carriage round the corner so it's out of sight.
Simple food.
That's right. Earth apple.
You must be used to gourmet menus. We could do you a nice beef bourguignon.
Oh, no. Potatoes, just as you eat them.
We're very fond of beef bourguignon.
I'm not one of your ordinary tourists, you know.
Eartha, the potatoes.
Yes, they're on.
I know, my lord, that you must be a count or a duke or an earl, and I know such honourable folk have their fancies.
I have brought some wine for my contribution.
Oh. That's better. Would you like to see our garden? We're self-sufficient, you know. I'd like to dig another of these holes before supper for the fruit trees.
I'll help you.
You, sir? Oh, no. You're our guest.
It is my fancy. I would like to be more than a guest. Give me the shovel.
That's good, sir. Very good. You might have been born to it.
Why have you no children? You call yourself self-sufficient, but where are your children to help you work? You cannot rely on passing strangers.
Oh, we had a son, sir, but it was bitterness for me and Eartha here. He was what you would call a hyperactive child. Never still, always bouncing about with schemes and mischief of all sorts. He was clever and sharp, but such a one for the girls. I never respected school learning. He ran away from home in the end. I never heard of him again. Let me just plant this tree, sir, in the hole that you've made. See? I put a stick of wood in beside it. Yeah, and tamp the earth down with my hands. Now, with this straw, I must tie the stem to the stake above and in the middle and below, so it'll not grow crooked.
That tree over there, that's knotted and crooked so that it's almost a shrub crawling over the ground. Can't you straighten that by tying it to a stake?
No, sir. You have to train them when they're young. Nothing will ever make that tree straight, nothing.
I'm thinking about your son, old man. If you trained him and brought him up straight while he was young, then he would not have run away.
It's true, my lord. How many years it is since then. He must be quite changed.
Would you know him if he stood here in your garden?
His face, I dare say, would not tell me, but I'd know him by the birthmark on his shoulder. Something like a bean in shape.
Is it like
This mark on my shoulder?
Oh, my lord. It can't be. You, my son?
Arthur!
What?
Arthur, quick, come here!
Wait. Our son.
What son?
Your child.
But my child? My baby? My son? How can you be? Let me feel you with my hands. Oh, you are a great gentleman. You are. You live in the midst of wealth and drive a black carriage with black horses like death himself. My son.
You mustn't fear what life brings, Mother.
I lost my son and I lost my second child, your sister. How can I be other than afraid? And now you come back and expect me to be grateful? How did you get all that wealth anyway?
You are right, dear parents. The young tree was not properly trained. It has grown crooked, and it is now too late to straighten it. I have been a thief all my life, but you must not worry about my profession.
Oh, one child a thief, and the other a sleeping beauty.
What do you mean, Mother? My sister? I had expected she was married, and you would tell me where she was.
No, it was after you left home. We could not wake her one morning. I went in with her hot tea, and there she was, in bed as usual, and so deeply asleep, and so beautiful. I couldn't believe my eyes. And I thought that, with such beauty, what would be the first words that she uttered this morning of fine sunshine? They will be religious words that would help us all, I was sure. But she would not wake, not then or ever after. She would not wake.
Can I see her?
Your godfather, the Count in the castle, took pity on her, and his nurse is taking care of her day and night in a special room that is guarded against anyone who might want to steal her beauty away.
She is my sister. I should take care of her.
The Count, he wouldn't hear of it. Why, we are scarcely allowed to see her, never more than once a year. And though you seem like a great lord, you are a thief by your own admission.
Father, I am a master thief.
Well, what does that mean, if anything?
It means, quite simply, that if anything takes my fancy to steal, nothing can withstand me. Not locks or bolts or soldiers or guards. No persuasion or poetry. No reason or rhyme. No magic or monster. That is what it means to be a master thief.
I don't care for it, son. A thief is a thief, and a thief comes to a bad end.
But I will see my sister, whatever the Count says, and maybe steal her away with me. It is certain I can wake her, for death is the only thing that can stand against a master thief. Death is the greatest thief of them all, who steals everywhere, the master criminal. And when the master thief joins with death, then all must look out. Moreover, my badness is so extreme that it turns to goodness. I will go to the Count of the castle today. But first, let us go in and eat.
Well, you always like potatoes.
Under the prayer-wheeling moon in the rosy wood, be shielded by chant and flower, and gay may you lie in grace. Sleep spelled at rest in the lowly house in the squirrel-nimble grove under linen and thatch and star, held and blessed, though you scour the high four winds from the dousing shade and the roarer at the latch, cool in your vows. Yet, out of the beaked webbed dark and the pouncing boughs, be you sure the thief will seek a way sly and sure, and sly as snow and meek as dew blown to the thorn, this night and each vast night until the stern bell talks in the tower and tolls to sleep over the stalls of the hearthstone tales, my own lost love. And the soul walks, the waters shorn.
The schedule of the law you pass, my lord, said anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who succeeds in the three tasks to be specified by your lordship may marry your goddaughter. His last and additional task is to wake her. If you did not want your godson to compete, then you should have said so, with respect.
As you admit to being a master thief, maybe I should hang you first and make that one of your tasks. To get out of the marriage with the ropemaker's daughter.
As you please, my lord.
Well, I think it will be more interesting to watch your antics over the tasks. But if you cannot complete them, then I will hang you anyway.
And if I do complete them?
You shall have my goddaughter.
It was you who decreed that brother-sister marriages were against the law.
So they are. But if you succeed in my difficult tasks, I shall consider the marriage confirmed by heaven. However, the lady may have other views when she wakes.
Give me your tasks. Remember, a master thief is merely a catalyst.
Number one, steal my best horse out of its stable. It is my mount as commander-in-chief. I am head of the army by its virtue. Its name is General Starlight. My commands in the field are obeyed only if I ride this horse or its lineage.
I shall steal your Starlight.
Next, after the Countess and I have retired for the night, steal both the sheet from under us and the wedding ring off my wife's finger.
That is intimate, but not difficult.
Last, steal the Archbishop and his chaplain out of their church.
I shall have to steal them away if I am to marry my illegal sister bride in their legitimate church.
You are the master thief. Thief on.
Ever and ever he finds a way, as the snow falls, as the rain falls, hail on the fleece. As the veil mist rides through the haygold stalls, as the dew falls on the windmill dust of the apple tree and the pounded islands of the morning leaves, as the star falls, as the winged apple seed glides and falls, and flowers in the yawning wound at our sides. As the world falls, silent as the cyclone of silence. Here is a wild-looking tavern. I think I will play a little strip poker.
I don't expect that dark stranger who's so lucky at cards fully realise the situation he's in. Keeps on winning, he'll lose. Well, those three, the old woman and her four sons, Mayor of Cointreau, Eclair, Omelette, Sauté, Fromage,
mm-hmm.
Simply cut his throat and take it all back.
Friends! I think I have everything now. I feel I'm sitting with five corpses, naked in the firelight. I'm the only living, since I'm the only one clothed.
We'll bet you our bodies. Our souls, too, if we could find them.
That cask you are sitting on, Omelette, what is that?
Quite empty, my lord.
Oh, just shake it for me, will you? Oh, what is that gurgling?
Oh, that.
Yes, that gurgle.
I live in, sir. The very best Hungarian wine that we water and sell to the soldiers. Oh, not worth your attention.
Oh, the soldiers know you all, do they?
Yeah.
And that bundle of herbs you've just picked into the shadows, Fromage. Is that something else you sell to the soldiers? Aha. I think I know this kind of grass. Tuscan, isn't it? Finest Tuscan.
Reputed to have given that poet, what's his name? Durante Alighieri, his visions of heaven and hell.
Oh. Transforms soldiers to angels. Mother dances like a houri for them and they fall in love.
Well, double or quits then. Cut for it all.
Done.
You are done. You can't even cut my throat now, can you? I've got your knife.
I can strangle you with my bare hands.
Yeah. But I am the master thief, Eclair. Here are your goods, all of them, and gold besides, if you
will be my gang.
Gang to the master thief?
It is the equivalent of apprenticeship to a great artist.
Give me my clothes.
Oh, no, no. Oh, woman, you shall have mine.
Your clothes, master thief?
It is time for you to strip me.
Go on now.
Oh, take all my clothes. Yeah. It's warm enough. Oh, take off, that's right. The breeches.
Take off the lot.
The shirt. Now, I am naked in the firelight.
It is like being a boy again.
What are you up to? Most king games are public rooms.
Oh, go away, landlord. It's all working out fine for everybody. Now, these oak galls on the firewood. Pluck them off and crush them under your boots and mix them with the ashes on the hearthstone and pour on a little of the sour wine. You have ink.
Ink?
Now, take twigs like pens. And now, you, look, old granny, hold your face by mine. Yes, that's it. Now you, draw upon my face all the wrinkles you see on granny's. And on my hand, and neck, and chest. And be a close artist. Draw on me the portrait of age. That's it. He tries quickly. Now, help me put on her clothes.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Come on then.
They seem to wriggle as I put them on.
Yes, all her petticoats. How shall I keep warm otherwise? This is the master thief's work. It is right. Absolutely right.
Oh, yes.
Wear my man's clothes, Granny, if you want. And my rapier, if you know how to use it.
What's this? You see, I do.
Oh, that's fine. You can fight for all of us. Right. Give me that grass. I will steep it in Hungarian wine. How is my walk? Is it like Granny in these clothes?
Oh, why,
in mine, she hops and slips like a galant. How about the cough? That's it.
Cool. Wonderful.
Now, off to his lordship's stables.
Yes, good wine. Give me another glass.
Take it for free. It's my birthday. Go.
On?
How old is that then? 200?
Go on, drink up. And look at me again now. Sauté, omelette, play the drum and the little
pipe.
That's strange. I could have sworn you had wrinkles. Your face is young. Oh, love me then. Come close.
What?
Will your comrades
think?
They will want to love you too. Hey, boys, this wine is free. We'll take some in for those on horse duty. Let's have a real party.
Let them come out here. We can dance in the court.
Yeah, they dance their life away if they let go of that horse. His lordship's marvelous horse. One comrade is a strider, another has the reins, and our third comrade has her by the tail. Nothing will persuade him to let go.
You go in, old hoary mother. I feel so sleepy. I'll just take 40 winks before the party.
If these soldiers wake at dawn and find the horse gone, they will raise the alarm. It is part of the master thief's craft to delay the alarm. Here.
Soldier, watch me dance. Take wine with old granny. And you.
There. Down they go like ninepins. Now, this sheaf of straw in the grip of the one on the tail. And this rope for the one on the reins. When they wake, they will dream the horse is there still. Now, what shall I do about the warrant officer in the saddle? My empty barrel will do fine, propped under him. Help me up with the fine soldier omelette.
All right.
Now, Starlight, the horse. Off we go.
Your lordship, wake up. Wake up. Your horse is stolen.
My horse? Starlight? I'll have those soldiers' heads.
You will not have your horse again unless you pardon those soldiers. After all, they came up against a master thief. How could they win? Pardon them, and your horse is stolen and restored. And my first task done.
Yes, Colonel. What is it?
Your command horse, my lord, is gone.
Oh.
The guards, they tried to pretend General Starlight was still in the stable. One pointed the straw and said it was his tail. Another tried to rein him in with an old rope fastened to a nail. While the warrant officer sat on a barrel and said how proud he was to have such a steed. Then he got off and began grooming the animal. They all groomed the invisible body and they're still doing it, laughing like madmen all the while. Hadn't the heart to strike their heads off while they were laughing. I want to see them groan for their crime, but I have reported to you immediately.
Oh, there it is.
Where?
On the street, with the master thief riding. Oh, it's not your fault. What could even a colonel do against a master thief?
Master thief? Now I follow. The only soldiers and I only a colonel. Against a master thief.
For Ella, of all, not the wolf in his baaing hood, nor the tusked prince in the ruttish farm at the rind and mire of love, but the thief, as meek as the dew.
Well, I'm not afraid of you.
I beg your pardon, my lord.
You seem to have discharged your first task.
I'm gripping it between my knees.
But I want to discuss your second. But do I have to shout it out of the window to the whole world?
I will come in.
I am glad that you have seen this room, for remember, your next task is to steal the sheet from my bed while I and her ladyship are lying on it, and the ring from her ladyship's finger, her marriage ring. I hope you will not find this too simple. Tonight is Friday, which is called the Night of the Lord's Bedchamber. All married people must by law conjoin on this day. It is forbidden they be disturbed by any matter whatsoever. The penalty is flaying. As feudal prince, I must lead in this custom. So you see, both the bedsheet and the marriage ring will be fully occupied.
Well, as this is so propitious an evening, why was it that I saw all the condemned prisoners being shrived for execution as I rode here in the dawn?
What?
Why were all those ambulances out, with their paramedical teams alert?
It is also forbidden that on this day, which begins at 12 noon, there should be any death again on penalty of flaying, whether it be doctor who allows his patient to die too early or too late, or prison official charged with terminating a criminal. All outstanding capital sentences must be executed on this day. Many old people are put away before noon for this reason.
May I be forgiven if a mere master thief considers this a barbarous custom?
The rites of the death mother must not conflict with those of the love goddess.
In my trade, they are the same lady, who is also the patron of thieves.
Then I trust she favors those who serve her best.
She does, sir, and always has.
The country is holy. O bide in that country kind, know the green good. Under the prayer-wheeling moon in the rosy wood, be shielded by chant and flower, and gay may you lie in grace. Sleep spelled at rest in the lowly house, in the squirrel-nimble grove, under linen and thatch and star, held and blessed, though you scar the high four winds from the dousing shade and the roarer at the latch. Cool in your vows.
Mm-hmm. Your ladyship should forgive me, passing fatigue.
I suppose it was a passing fatigue on our wedding night.
The drinks, the stag party, you've never forgotten that, have you?
Not when you remind me by being so...
unmanly, is that what you mean? Well, it happens to most men from time to time. What about last Friday?
Oh, well, yes, that was grand, I'll give you that.
Oh, good. I feel so much better. Tell you the truth, Constance, I am worried about this so-called master thief.
Oh.
He stands to win our goddaughter, and if he does so, I shall have to ennoble him to the bargain. I hate the idea of a master thief anyway.
Oh.
Somebody who, by a mere emphasis of his personality, causes other people's goods to slide into his pocket.
Oh.
I can't help feeling that we will feel a sudden panic or a sudden delight that will enable him to steal in and win the bet.
I am feeling a sudden delight.
At the prospect of the master thief entering our bedroom.
Mm.
It's his influence. He approaches somewhere.
Oh, what could he do while you are here, Oli?
If I remain alert. Oh, dandelions.
Prime your other pistol, my dear. Come to bed.
Never and never, my girl riding far and near in the land of the hearthstone tales and spell asleep. Fear or believe that the wolf, in a sheep-white hood, loping and bleating, roughly and blithely shall leap, my dear, out of a lair in the flock leaves and the dew-dipped year, to eat your heart in the house in the rosy wood.
Pacing up and down like that. Come to bed, do.
It's his panic rising about us. Ooh. I will not give in.
Oh, come to bed. Mind that gun that can go off at half cock.
Listen.
What?
Scraping of a ladder on the wall.
Oh, protect me, Roly.
My gun's ready for him. I didn't think the master thief would be that crude. There's his head rising above the sill. There! Take that, you bastard! Let's put a stop to his master tricks! Call the guard!
Roly, it's Friday.
What?
Oh, you shouldn't have killed him on Friday.
Friday?
You'll be flayed by your own law for killing a man on Friday.
Oh, my God. I shall have to sentence myself to death. Lodge an appeal to myself. Reject my own appeal on grounds of the evidence. And hand myself over to the executioner.
There's only one thing you can do. You must bury him in the garden.
Yes, I will. I can see him from here. My shot blew the top of his head off. Oh, you lie so still now, you villain. Such violence. Such repose. I must make sure I have murdered my murderer. I'm going down. It will take time to dig a big enough hole.
You're back soon.
Give me the sheet, wife.
The sheet? What for?
When I got down there, I suddenly realized that he is, after all, our godson. I'd be burying him like a dog to put him as he is in the earth. I must wind him in one of our sheets.
Oh, a silk marriage sheet?
Yes, that will be good enough.
Oh, I should say so. Yes. I suppose you don't want anything else.
Look, he gave his life to get your ring. Be generous. Give it to him in death. I'll buy you another.
Oh, a ring? Another? Oh, could
you? I feel guilty as hell about leading this poor man on. Give me the ring. It must go on his dead winning finger.
You'll get me another one?
Yes. Yes, of course. Goodbye. Oh. I need a bath now. Oh, what a night. I feel I've saved my skin.
Did you stow him away safely with my ring on his finger, wrapped nobly in silk like a lord?
Ring? Sheet? What do you mean?
Of the nightingale's din and tale, the upgiven ghost of thistling frost, of the dingle torn to singing and the surpliced hill of cypresses, the din and tale in the skimmed yard of the buttermilk rain on the pail, the sermon of blood, the bird loud vain, the sage from mermin to seraphim leaping, the gospel rooks, all tell this night of him who comes as red as the fox and sly as the heeled wind.
Here's the sheet. Here's the ring. Oh,
do tell, Raffles. Do you simply create a magic panic round you? That's the Countess's opinion. I swear I shot you on the ladder. Now, do you see the fineness of the sheet? I can draw it through the wedding ring thus. They would have drawn my skin off so. Can you create good dreams as well as nightmares?
I took a man from the gallows and climbed up the ladder with him on my shoulders. You nearly shot both of us off the ladder. I knew you would want to kill me. Then, when you were off burying the body in the rose bushes, I came up the ladder again, sounding like you in the shadows. I'd be burying him like a dog to put him as he is into the raw earth. You see?
I see. You are two-thirds of the way to marrying your sister. Now, how will you perform the third task, I wonder? It is to steal the archbishop and his chaplain from the church.
I think that will be the easiest of all.
Ah, but you haven't met the archbishop.
It's the big one, gang. I want you, Claire, to get me 500 live crabs. I don't care where, just get them.
Yes, boss.
And Sote, you have an easy task. As many candles.
Right away.
Mayor Quantro, I want you to assemble in the great hall all the dressmakers in the town.
Yes.
Omelette, here's gold. I want you to marshal the complement of the city's whores in the infant school.
Ooh, right.
Fromage, will you steal silk from the great mercer's warehouse sufficient to clothe these whores?
Oh, no problem, sir.
Now's the time to put to use what you have learned from the master thief, Sorte.
Yes, boss.
Here's your costume. You are visiting the priest. You have come to get the archbishop to autograph his book for you.
I believe that all right-thinking people will be grateful to you, Archbishop, for this succinct compendium of the heresies. Not even your enemies have ever impugned your integrity. You are known in all councils as a man of your word. Your honest voice is needed now more than ever, when the black tide of the occult, the sexual and the feminine is lapping at the very church doors.
I'm glad that you like my book, Father Sote. It is the product of great experience as priest and bishop.
It is both honest and timely. Would you not argue, as an honest man and a priest of God, that should you encounter any of these phenomena, it would be incumbent on you to change your position?
All priests in this church are celibate, aren't we, chaplain?
I have the honour to be his lordship's chaplain, and to bear the name chaplain, George Chaplain.
How do you do?
We are actually old friends, and stand together on these matters.
Indeed we are, George. Very celibate.
And teetotal. It is the abuse of the senses by drugs, including tobacco, alcohol, and sexuality, which lead to the delusions my Lord Archbishop has castigated. We are steady as a rock, and on the rock a lighthouse to guide all souls into harbour. Mm-hmm. We have established, by decree of Count Bast and inspiration of the church, that intercourse is to occur but once a week, and that at night, so that the excited senses of the partners may be occupied with dreams, not realities, and they will awake refreshed to their usual occupations. Nevertheless, we have a prostitution problem.
But there are faculties of the soul, as you yourself say, spiritual senses which are developed by those stories which are ghostly and romantic, and which we term poetry.
It is a yearning for the Holy Ghost.
And such stories will certainly spring up around the stones of an ancient cathedral like this one. Indeed, it is St. Salt's night tonight, when it is said, by the townspeople, of course, that the blessed souls in heaven make a trip to earth, as though the glimmering stars walked the common ground. It is storied also in that half-light of the commonalty that by the intercession of that same St. Salt, all souls will gather in the cathedral clothed in bodies of light, like human form, but more exquisitely spiritual. And any who see them there will gain a little tinge of salvation that may overspread their souls entirely if they have intercourse with more than three of these souls, yet such may also be damned utterly, if seeing this sight, they were to refuse this sacrament. For it is not sin, but salvation. As on St. Salt's night, sin and salvation move very close together. If indeed they were able to resist the fluence of the glorious perfumes and exquisite rustlings and whistlings every movement of these blessed creatures causes. It's a fine story, is it not?
An allegory of probably pagan origin.
Oh, without doubt. But if you encountered such a manifestation, would you not wish to change tack and write another book, besides being damned if you refused participation?
There is no doubt of it. But if me no ifs... Without such a glory perceptible to the inner conscience and outer senses, there would be no cause to change our stern doctrine. I am the head of the church, and it is for me to speak of what I know best, which is prayer and devotion. Glories such as you intimate are the reward of disciples.
Yet, if the time came for such a manifestation on earth,
then heaven and earth, blessing and sin, would, as you say, draw together, and the last judgment would be nigh. We can only watch and pray.
This is St. Salt's night.
If there were any truth to the tale, it would be easy to see from this palace. But as you see, the night is as black as the suggestions of your story. What are those
crawling lights moving across the close?
No, merely reflections of the stars above in some rainwater.
They are scuttling across to the cathedral.
Huh?
It is like a procession of souls. There must be a thousand of them.
Open the window.
There is a strange tapping and rustling.
It is like a river of light which has reached the cloisters, and these forms its procession.
The cathedral great bell is sounding.
Lights have gone up in the chancel.
Stay behind me, my lord. This is at the very least burglary.
Open the great west door. Oh, the blaze of light and perfume rustling.
Who unmanningly haunts the mountain ravined eaves or skulks in the dell moon, but moonshine echoing clear from the starred well? A hill touches an angel. Out of a saint's cell, the nightbird lords through nunneries and domes of leaves, a robin-breasted tree, three Marys in the rays. Sanctum sanctorum, the animal eye of the wood in the rain, telling its beads, and the gravest ghost, the owl, at its knelling. fox and hoot kneel before blood. Now the tales praise the star-eyes at pasture, and night-long the fables graze on the Lord's table of the bowing grass. The Archbishop is perfectly well aware that the souls perambulating in the dark and come from heaven were 500 crabs with lighted candles stuck in their own wax on the shells, and that the blessed souls in the cathedral, who rose to their feet as the Archbishop entered in his mufti, themselves clothed in the rainbow colours of the celestial regions, rustling and whistling with the silk of it, were 500 whores. Nevertheless, the heavens opened for him and his chaplain, and they were lost once they inbreathed a few molecules of the perfumes exhaled by those ladies, so pleased with their new dresses and very anxious to please. So, the Archbishop and his chaplain were stolen from their church and saved into the bargain.
Indeed, saved many times over. Master Thief, you have come into my domain and you have overturned it. During the execution of your three tasks, you have undermined the discipline of my army and my confidence in it and its commanders. You have shown up my wife as overcredulous and undiscerning and myself as a miserable coward. And you have converted the religious leaders of the community to a pagan horosis, spiritual experience by sexual intercourse, a Gnostic position. Now, by my own laws, you are to take your sister away and marry her, thus breaking one of the greatest prohibitions known to mankind, a brother-sister marriage.
Let me see her. Is she still sleeping? My final task should be to awaken her.
She is in this bedchamber.
May I kiss her?
She is yours.
Mine. Forever. I have a message for her. Only for the turning of the earth in her holy heart. Slyly, slowly, hearing the wound in her side go round the sun, love comes to my love like the designed snow, and truly he flows to the strand of flowers like the dew's woolly sea, and surely he sails like the ship-shaped clouds. Oh, he comes designed to my love, to steal not her ride-raking wound, nor her riding high, nor her eyes, nor kindled hair, but her faith, that each fast night and the saga of prayer he comes to take. Her faith, that this last night, for his unsacred sake, he comes to leave her in the lawless sun awaking, naked and forsaking, to grieve he will not come. Ever and ever, by all your vows, believe and fear, my dear, this night he comes, and night without end, my dear, since you were born. And you shall wake from country sleep this dawn, and each first dawn. Your faith as deathless as the outcry of the ruled sun.
I dreamed that my brother kissed me and left.
Colonel? Where is the master thief?
He has gone, my lord.
He has stolen my heart.
That was The Master Thief, drawn from Grimm's fairy tales and written by Peter Redgrove. The Master Thief was James Kerry. Old Man and Archbishop was Alan Dudley. The Old Woman was Jennifer Piercy. The Innkeeper and Colonel was Eric Lander. Mayor Quantrow was Christine Pollon. Eclair and Chaplin was Andrew Branch. Sauté was Jonathan Taffler. Fromage was Mark Buffery. Omelette and Lord Bast was Paul Gregory. Lady Bast was Sheila Grant. And the sister was Marion Ellor.